And it's the salvation's important all the time, but we're going to see tonight, and if I was titling the message, it would be this: the last day action for saints. The last day's action for saints. Now, let's just look tonight through the Word of God, and you pray for us and pray the Lord to help us, and that God would just ever magnify Himself again. And I pray the Lord to just use the Word of God to speak to our hearts. And you know, it don't, as you look out across the world and our nation, and you see all that's going on in our world, and you know, as I've said before, it doesn't take a Bible scholar to figure out that Bible prophecy is coming true. Even as I said, if you wasn't here before Sunday school this morning, our president started an exploration on March the 9th into a cryptocurrency for the United States. Cryptocurrency is a digital currency that is traded digitally. It will do away with your dollar bill. He has a plans to move forward in 6 months. They're doing an exploration and research for the next 6 months, and he has in 6 months there to return to him and give him a plan. That's how fast that he's trying to fast track this thing. You didn't hear that. All you're hearing is Ukraine, but you also didn't hear his deal with the Iranians that he made last week and about their nuclear deal, and he's trying to get them permission or to give them liberty to pursue their nuclear arsenal. And so that's all under the radar, so you don't get wind of it. And just like everything else this administration is doing, trying to destroy our nation. But understand this, as I said this morning, all this is prophecy being fulfilled before our eyes. Man, we know according to the Word of God, in the tribulation period, there'll be a one world currency. And I believe it will be digital. That's how it will be controlled. And that's another reason they want you to have electric vehicles, okay? Just so you know that. My dad and Caleb had the privilege of seeing one of them electric vehicles yesterday. Somebody drove up in a Tesla there on the farm, and they was like a fish out of water, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, Daddy said, "What in the world is that?" when it left. It didn't make no noise or nothing. Well, you know, they're trying to get Elon Musk to shut off all the electric vehicles in Russia. Y'all realize that? That's why they want you to have electric cars, so they can cut them off. That's why they want you to have electric currency, so they can stop you from using it. It's all prophecy being fulfilled. Now, to a lost person, and to someone who does not understand, and even some saints of God who are not aware of the end times and what the Bible speaks of, sometimes it can cause fear and anxiety. But we know this, as we see these things come to pass, Jesus said, "Lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh." But preacher, what should we be doing in these last days? Well, first of all, I want to remind you, take your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 through verse number 5, and we're going to see what the Scripture has for us tonight. And if my first point is the last day action for us saints is you need to be listening to His words. You need to be listening to the words of the Lord. The Bible, Paul wrote to young Timothy at 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 1. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege, God, to gather in the house of God tonight, Lord, under the flag of liberty and freedom. Thank you, Lord, that we're still able to do that. And Father, I pray for you would protect that liberty and that freedom, Lord, in the coming years and days, that, Lord, if you allow my children to have children, and God, me to have grandchildren, that, Lord, they can worship you under this same liberty, God, and freedom that we get to celebrate and take advantage of today. But Father, we also know, Lord, as we look looking around the world, we see that God for prophecies fulfilling before our eyes. And God, we know that we're living in the last days. And Father, I pray, God, that you would ever speak to our hearts tonight through the Word of God. I pray that my speaking and my preaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but God, in the demonstration of Spirit and of power. Lord, bring back to my heart and my mind the things that you showed us, Lord, in the study early this morning. And God, just use us, Lord, tonight for your honor. And we love you, and Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, I humbly pray. Amen. In the last coming days, understand this, you need to be listening to His words. You say, what do you mean listening to His words? Well, you need to be listening to these words here that Paul wrote to young Timothy. He said, notice what he said, this know also. He says, you need to know a lot of things, but Timothy, you need to be aware that you need to know this too. Now, understand, this was written in A.D. 66. That's about 1900 and what, 50 years ago, 60 years ago? 1960 years ago, Paul was writing to young Timothy, and he was telling him, he said, now, Timothy, this know also in the last days, perilous times going to come. See, Paul was thinking that to himself that the last days may have come in Timothy's lifetime. And you've heard those old gray-haired preachers preach for years, and not lately. Now, think about this. You've not heard much preaching on the second coming in the last 20 years, but you back yourself up 30 years and 40 years ago, and when those old first white horse premillennial preachers started preaching, you heard a lot of preaching on the second coming, and they were saying it could be any day. And now we know this, and here we are in 2022, and man, here we are today, and we're seeing the prophecy fulfilled before our eyes, and things that's happening that you never thought would happen in the world, and especially in the United States of America. But beloved, we see these things, and Paul was writing to Timothy, and he says, son, I need to remind you this, know also that in the last days perilous times are going to come. And then he gives a description of what's going on. Now let me ask you this. When you read these words, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, does that make you think of anybody? Covetous? Boasters? You see that? Proud? Blasphemers? Unthankful? Unholy? Disobedient to parents? Traitors? Heady? High-minded? Without natural affection? Man, have you seen today with the unnatural affection where men burn for men and women burn for women and people wanting to change that which was holy the way God made it, I'm there to something else? We see that today. You say, preacher, what's going on in our world? We're living in the last days. We are living in the perilous times. I'm beloved that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of, and we're going to go there in a moment, but the Apostle Paul spoke of. And beloved, we're living in some exciting times as a child of God. But what are we to do in these last days? Well, understand, first of all, you need to listen to His Word and be reminded that there is the last days coming. And these are the things that you ought to look for. These are the signs of the times. Not only that, but go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3. We talked about this. I don't remember where this was. Maybe it was in the prayer room, or I don't know. Maybe it was in preaching. And maybe it was in another discussion I had this week, but we were discussing this. Me and somebody was discussing this verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day is he talking about? Well, let's go back and look. Let's read verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. He said, now I'm beseeching you and I'm telling you about the coming of the Lord and our gathering together. That's the rapture of the church. Remember, 1 Thessalonians, Paul was preaching to them and writing to them that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming back. 2 Thessalonians is to remind them and tell them that He's coming back, but He's not come yet. Some of them was concerned that He had already come. They got left behind. But in 2 Thessalonians was telling them He's not come back yet, but He is coming. Well, look, he said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. That's the rapture, that ye be soon not shaken in mind or troubled, neither be by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Man, notice what he says next of all. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now understand that he's speaking of the Antichrist. And yes, the Antichrist could be alive today on this earth. And beloved, he may already be on a scene somewhere. He may have been already, his face could have already been promoted on some news media as some other dignitary or some other position of service. But we do know this. I'm beloved, when that day, when he comes, before he's coming, there's going to be a great falling away. And beloved, if you can't look back over the last 10 years of your life as a child of God in the last 10 years in church history and the last 20 years in church history and really the last 2 years in church history and see that there's not been a great falling away, I'm beloved, that you need to just get your head out of the sand, because we are living in those days. We need to be listening to His words. So often, I mean, I hear people say, I mean, even unchurched people, they ask me questions. They say, preacher, what do you think about what's going on? And I said, well, you really want to know? They say, it's getting near the end, ain't it, preacher? And I said, according to the Word of God, it is. According to the Word of God, we're drawing near to the end down here. Now, understand this. I don't know that it's tomorrow. I don't know that it's the next day, but it could be this moment. Yes. Amen? But what do we do in these last days? Number one, you need to listen to the Word. We need to be listening to His words. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3. Just bringing out some scriptures about to let us see what's going on in these last days. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3. Look in verse 3, 2 Peter. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all these things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly man. Look, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, and the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, are not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Understand, he was saying this. He said, there's scoffers going to come in the last day, and they're going to be saying, well, where's His coming? Where's His coming? I thought He was coming years ago. I heard it years ago when I was a child that the Lord was coming back. I heard a preacher, Harry Reagan preach that. I heard Brother Marvin Wheeler preached that. I heard Brother James Ransom preach that. I heard Brother Sammy Allen preach that. I heard Brother Dean Bright preach that. I heard Brother McNeil preach that. I've heard it all my life, but where's he at? Where's he at? He said, don't be ignorant. He said, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. Time's of no essence to God. You need to get that through your head. Time is of no essence to God. Time means nothing to Him. He give us time to keep up days. But as a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, I just want you to know and realize, go to Matthew chapter number 24. I'm just trying to remind you that you need to be listening to the words of the Lord, that He's speaking unto us as His children. Look at Matthew 24, verses 3 through 6. And Jesus answered and said, verse number 4, Matthew 24, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But notice what he said, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Notice what he said here. All these are the beginnings of sorrows, but the end's not yet. All these are just the beginnings. We're not even entered in the times of Jacob's trouble yet. We've not entered into that abomination of desolation as spoken of by the prophet Daniel. He said, these things are come to pass, and this is just the beginning of sorrows. You've not reached that point there of the tribulation. You've not reached that time of Jacob's trouble, but just the beginning of sorrows. So you see what's going on today, and as you see the world scene, and you look at what Russia's doing in the West, and you see what China's doing in the West, and you see how those great nations are becoming great superpowers, and the superpower that used to be of the world, of the United States, is made a mockery and a shame, and they're being jested at and poked fun at and made fun of around the world. Why? Because we're not found nowhere in Scripture. We're not found in the end times. So either the demise of the United States has to come by politicians, or the demise of the United States has to come by the rapture. One of the two. But the demise has to set in. You say, what does that mean for me and my children? I don't know. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm just telling you what we need, how we need to be acting and responding in these days. Number one, you need to be listening to His Word. Number two, you need to be laboring for the lost. If you and I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back, and you and I believe that it could be at any moment of time that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and we can see the great falling away, and we can see the perilous times, and we can see the beginning of sorrows, and He said, when all of these things come to pass, when you see all these things happen, you just know that the end's drawing near. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church, is the next thing that happens. Beloved, you and I ought to be up and about our Father's business, trying to get every person that we can, everybody that we know, beloved, red, yellow, black, and white, blue, gray, green, from 8 to 80 to 98, whatever age it is, beloved, we ought to be doing all that we can to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into their hands and into their ears. Beloved, because, beloved, if they get left behind, they will perish. We need to be laboring for the lost. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he said, it's a high time, knowing the time. And see, we can take the Scriptures and know the time. And he wrote to the church at Rome, and he said, and that, knowing the time, Romans 13:11, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. And beloved, if there's ever been a time for the gospel to get out, if there's ever been a time, a greater opportunity for the gospel to get out, if there's ever been a, there's never been a time in history, beloved, where the gospel could reach the ends of the earth. I mean, man, our services have been picked up in India. I have missionaries from India, and I have missionaries from the Philippines that send me messages all the time and say, thank you, preacher, for preaching. We're using your services. You're helping us. And man, all around the world of the gospel is being preached. I mean, sermon audio, Facebook, radio. Not just that we have that privilege, but the whole church has that privilege. But yet, and here we are, we took up money tonight and to send, and God bless you for doing that, and God bless you for buying these tracts that are in Spanish and I can't read them. Amen. I don't even know what it says. I bet that one says an empty tomb. I bet that's what that says. Is that what that says? La tumba vacía? Is that what that says, the empty tomb? See, I ain't no dummy. I figured tumba was empty. I mean tomb. And vacía? I figured that was vacant. Amen. So I could figure that out. But I mean, here we are. We'll take up money, and God bless you, and we ought to send these little things, these little tracts around the world to those little children. If you didn't see the pictures of all them little kids holding them tracts up and reading them, but beloved, we won't walk across the street. We won't lay them upon a gas pump. We won't give them to the lady at the checkout counter. We won't lay them on the aisles of the grocery stores. We won't give them to our friends and our families. And beloved, it's high time that we wake out of our sleep, because now is our salvation near than when we first believed. You say, I just can't give out a tract, really?
Awful hard, ain't it? There's thousands of them in that office back there that we've bought to put in the track rack. And I try to keep them full, but you know what? They just, the most of the ones that take them out is the children. Had one little girl used to come. She said, "Can I give them out at school?" I said, "You just give them out every one you want." And I said, "If the principal of the school says anything, you give them my telephone number." I said, I'll come sit down and eat lunch with you and her. But how easy it is to get the gospel out. And if you and I believe, if knowing that the time is near, I'm talking about the last day action for the saints of God, is that we ought to be gathering together everyone that we know, unbelieved, that's not saved, that's never heard the gospel, into the house of God, or witnessing to them, praying for them, begging them to come. And I told you, if you'll get them here, I'll do my best to preach the gospel to them. But understand this, we need to be busy because we're living in the last days. Not only do we need to be laboring for the lost, but let's 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I'm talking about saints' actions in the last days. We need to be listening to His words, but we need to be laboring for the lost. And I tell you what, you ought to be listening for the trumpet. You ought to be listening for the trumpet. You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You and I ought to be listening every moment to the trumpet, or for the trumpet. Man, they used to sing a song, "What's that I hear? Is that the sound of a trumpet? I feel the touch of a much better, what I hear the, what was it? What I hear? Something of a much better place. And if I am dreaming, please don't wake me." We ought to listen every morning. Lord, is today the day that you're going to sound the trumpet? Lord, is today going to be the sounding that you call us home, that Lord, we're going to leave this old world? Lord, is today going to be the day that you're going to get us out of here? Lord, is that the trumpet that I hear? I'll be honest with you, if we start listening more for the trumpet and less to the media, amen. And I'm a Trump man, but even less to Trump.
Amen.
I had any tickets to go to this rally last night, but I was too tired. You all know he's in Commerce. I didn't watch it, listen to it, nothing. I had tickets, but anyway. We ought to be listening for the trumpet. I will never forget, it was Bob Couch. I used to go to church with him at Shoal Creek. He used to play that trumpet. And I remember him used to play that trumpet there on Easter sunrise service. He'd start blowing that trumpet there at sunrise service. And I thought, man, I wonder if that's what it's going to sound like one day. We ought to be listening for the trumpet. I mean, man, one of these days, it could be today, there is nothing that's holding the Lord from coming except the grace of God. That is the only thing that's keeping Him from coming at this very moment of time, is that there might be somebody else that could get saved by God's marvelous grace. But you and I ought to be listening for the trumpet. Not looking for a way out. Not looking for trumpets present. Not looking for a new this or a new that. But beloved, we ought to be listening for the trumpet. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We ought to be listening for the trumpet. Not only we ought to be listening for His words, laboring for the lost, listening for the trumpet, we ought to be looking for that blessed hope. I'm talking about, how are you going to respond in these last days? When you see all the bad news that's going on, maybe you ought to walk out and say, "Lord, is today the day?" But I promise you, if you hear the trumpet, you won't have to put your hand over here and listen to it. Amen. I mean, if it's loud enough to wake up the dead, I think you're gonna hear it. But we ought to be listening for the trumpet, but we ought to be looking for that blessed hope. Peter, Titus said this, Paul wrote to Titus, and he said this in Titus 2.13, if you want to write these verses down, Titus 2.13 and 2.14. He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what we ought to be looking for. We not ought to be looking for a new politician. Amen. We ought not be looking for a new business plan or a new business scheme or what are we going to do? How are we going to do? We ought to be looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing
Amen.
Of our great God and Savior. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking at businesses. And there's nothing wrong with preparing. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just telling you how a saint ought to act in these last days. And if all these other things are taking priority or precedence over these things, then we got a problem.
Right.
But how do I respond, preacher, when I hear all the bad news that's going on in the world? How do I respond when I hear what's going on in our nation? You just need to start listening and looking.
He's in control.
Amen. Listening and looking. Because this thing's drawing near. This thing's drawing near to the end. And beloved, it's a great and exciting time that we're living in when we see prophecy fulfilling before our eyes. Do you know that to build the temple in Jerusalem, do you know that in, what was it, 2 years ago, I don't remember if it was 2 years ago, yeah, Brother Leo was still alive then because he and I was the one who was discussing it. 2 years ago, Brother Leo sent me a link. He said, preacher, you need to watch this. And 2 years ago, they started sacrificing in Jerusalem again. 2 years ago. They already got the altar set up. 2 years ago, they started sacrificing in Jerusalem. Understand this. You say, well, there's the mosque sitting on the temple ground. No, that's where the soldiers' quarters was, where that mosque was. The temple was above it. When you study it out, the temple sat above it, and down there was the soldiers' quarters. That's where that mosque is. But guess what? Even if the mosque is sitting there, I just want you to know my God's greater than Allah, and He can do whatever He wants to with it, and He can wipe it out. But they say they have everything they need, the cornerstone. They already have the cornerstone there to be set. They say it's bigger than a school bus. I remember Ray Chester telling us that. It was 15 years ago. He'd went and got in and met a rabbi over there. And that rabbi was taking him back behind the scenes and showed him the cornerstone for that temple. He said that thing's bigger than a Greyhound bus. They have everything they need to build the temple there back in Jerusalem. They have everything they need. There's nothing left to be fulfilled besides us getting out of here.
Amen.
That's all. That is all that's left. And you and I ought to be looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. You and I ought to be looking at getting out of here instead of trying to find the ways to fix and keep everything here. Not only ought to be looking for that blessed hope, we ought to be looking for that new land. God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things are passed away. You realize that every day that I'm closing right here. I got one more point after this, but I want you to think about this, Brother Green. Every day that evil waxes worse and worse Amen. Is one day closer we get home.
Amen.
Every day that something else falls into place for that one world system and that one world government and that new world order. And if you hadn't seen Biden's message about 2 weeks ago about the new world order and about how it's time that there be a new order in the world and it's time for it to flip-flop, and he was going to be one of the leaders that made it flip-flop. If you've not seen that,
Amen.
Anybody seen it besides me?
Amen.
I've got some. Go home and look it up. He's proclaiming it. Guess what? It's that Bible being fulfilled. You say, preacher, it scares me. It don't scare me. It excites me because that's one day closer to home than I am.
Amen.
I'm honest. Do I want to say I have grandkids? Yeah, I do.
Amen.
I want to see my children get married, and I want to see my children prosper, and I want to have grandkids because I can treat them the way my daddy treats mine. in my face. Amen. Y'all know why? Y'all know why you have grandkids. It's a reward for not killing your children. Amen. That's all it is. I want to see that. But guess what, Brother Wesley? I'd rather go home than have grandkids.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's a lot of things that I want to see. There's a lot of things that I want to do. But have this old world. You can have it.
Amen.
Preacher, what do we do in these last days? How do we act? How do we respond? You listen to that word. You be listening for the trumpet. You be laboring for your lost loved ones. Why? Because we can look for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. But then the last one is this, and I'm done. We ought to be longing to be in His presence.
Amen.
John the Revelator over there, and understand that's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Everybody's scared of the revelation. I remember as a young child, I was scared of the book of Revelations. Even I could probably begin to ask my children over here, and they say, well, there's some things about it just scares me. And man, when you have them locusts that comes out with horse's body and the face of a man and stingers as scorpions and the appetite of a lion and all that, man, you're like, oh my, that's some wicked things. When you read about the beast and all that thing coming up out of the pit and a third of the stars falling and the sun and moon being darkened for a third of the day and a third of the daylight gets short and a third of the night gets darker and you begin to see the stars fall and causes a third of the waters to turn bitter and men's crying for death and not finding it. I mean, that's all Revelation stuff. But guess what? I ain't going to be in it.
Amen.
I'm getting out of here.
Right.
Okay. But it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. Read the first chapter, the first verse. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because John sees the Lord. John chapter 1, 2, and 3 deals with the churches. And John chapter 4, about verse number 5 or verse number 2, the Lord says, come up hither. Guess what? He's calling the church home. We're leaving.
Amen.
All right? He said, I'll show these things. The next thing you see for the next 16 chapters, look. Or first the next from John chapter 5, and I mean Revelation chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and I think 14. Every one of them starts off with, I saw. I saw. Okay? John begins to tell us what he saw. But then as John seen that, and John seen the Lord there in Revelation chapter number 4 and 5 when he called him up there, and he seen the Lord sitting upon high upon the throne and all the angels and all the beings in heaven falling down and worship Him, saying, glory and honor to the Lamb that was slain. And he sees all the destruction and all the turmoil that's going on through the tribulation. And he sees the battle of Armageddon and the battle of Gog and Magog at the end. And when the bridle of the blood guns up to the horses' bridles, he sees all of that. And then he sees the Lord.
Amen.
And then he says this. He said, even so come quickly. You say, what are you saying? He just wanted to be in the presence of the
that's
Lord.
Right. Get out of this mess.
You know, that's what we ought to be longing for.
Amen.
Is His presence. Just to be able to go to where He is. Even so, come quickly. Let me ask you tonight. Are you looking for the Lord to come by? Are you ready for the Lord to come by? Brother Green, I'll be honest with you, there's only one thing. There's one reason I don't want the Lord to come back. It's because of lost people.
Amen.
That's the only reason.
Bittersweet.
I have brother-in-laws that are, I believe are lost.
Amen.
Sonny. Amen. Hey, some of you have got kids.
Amen.
Grandkids. The best of my knowledge, Daddy, our circle's not broken. To the best of my knowledge. The best of my knowledge, everybody in the Doug Nix family say. Kids and grandkids. The best of my knowledge. But I know a whole multitude of people that's not. And what scares me, according to that Bible, If they don't get, they've heard the gospel and they don't get saved, they won't get saved because they'll be sent a strong delusion. They'll believe a lie. Same Bible that we talk about all this. Go over there and read. I'm going down a little further in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. They'll be sent a strong delusion. They'll believe a lie. They've ever heard the gospel. The rapture will be explained away. And they'll believe it.
That's right.
You say, how do you know that, preacher? They're believing everything that the media tells them today.
Amen.
They'll be sent a strong delusion. They'll believe a lie. You say, but what about those that's never heard it? They're going to have to make it through the great tribulation. And I sure wouldn't want to try that.
Amen.
The only reason I don't want the Lord to come back tonight is because I know lost people.
Amen.
But other than that,
Amen.
It don't bother me.
Amen.
Am I concerned? Do I still fight? Do I still pester the fool out of my senators and representatives? You better believe I do. I text them. And I call them. I don't want to be a thorn in their side, but that I'm going to tell them, you need to be voting no on this gambling issue. And praise God they did.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It died in the Senate. Thank Amen. God for that.
Amen.
But understand this, Brother Bobby. I'm looking for Him.
Amen.
And I'm going to encourage you. That's what you ought to do. But I want to encourage you even more. You need to do your part of making sure the people you love are saved.
Amen.
Making sure your neighbors are going with you. We're standing all over the house. Only 7